Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Mortgage Lending Mastery. Get the knowledge you need to advance your mortgage practice quickly and efficiently from Jen Duplessis, America's Mortgage Mastery Mentor with over 37 years of experience and over $1 billion in lifetime fundings. Jen has been mentoring loan officers and realtors for over 15 years and speaking on stages across the globe. So settle in and get ready as Jen and her guests share their experience, passion, and strategies to help you crack the top producer code to reach new heights in your business. And now, here's your host, Jen Duplessis, Mortgage Mastery Mentor and Head Chick in Charge of Kinetic Spark Consulting.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to this episode. I am delighted to have you here today. And I want to say again, if this is your first time joining us, thank you so much for taking time out of your day. And if you've been a longtime listener, as usual, I want to say thank you for being with me for this long. And the gratitude that I have for you is just priceless. It's just absolutely priceless. I want to introduce our guest today, Matthew Yeas. He is the founder of Extend Your Team. And so today what we're going to talk about is virtual assistants. Now, before you hang up and go, oh my God, not those again, right? Because we hear it a lot. He has a very unique perspective on this. So I want you to hear this out because hopefully this will be an aha moment for you where you say, that's it. I'm done. I've got to get myself a virtual assistant that can help my business grow and scale. But before we do, I want to tell you a little bit about Matthew. He's the founder of Extend Your Team. As I said before, he helps entrepreneurs and operators and salespeople and all companies, all different sizes, grow their business by getting out of the grind. Does that sound familiar? Finder, minder, grinder. Finder, minder, grinder. And he's going to tell his story here in just a few minutes, but he has a large company and he'll share with us about that as well and give us some tactics on how to hire the right person and what to have them do. But first, let's welcome him to the show. Welcome, Matthew. So happy to have you.
Thanks, Jen. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on today.
Yeah, of course. Of course. So let's just dive in. I want to hear your hero's journey, right? And what happened that changed your life so that someone listening here, a realtor, a loan officer, an entrepreneur says, oh my gosh, is he talking my story?
Yeah. So my entrepreneur's journey actually started back in 2008, 2009. At the time, I was a management consultant. I was working for a client and I was actually doing well at the company. There were cuts that were coming because it was 2008. I had a partner, not my partner, a different partner at the company, did not like me for some reason and decided that I needed to go below the line, even though my performance was above the line. So I got let go, right? Like so many people. And it was in that moment that I realized in order to take control of my own destiny, I really had to be my own boss. And it really came from this piece of advice I got from my uncle, who was a fairly successful person. He said, you can love a company, but they can't love you back. And as someone who gives their all to something, it really resonated. I'm like, okay, I need to do this on my own, right? And so that moment began a series of events where I ended up starting with actually my former client, ended up starting a what became a national restaurant chain and spent 4 years doing that. And that was my first foray into being an entrepreneur, truly. We raised money. I was the junior person on the team, but I mean, I murdered myself for 4 years to create the concept, get it from one location and expand it eventually to 14 in 6 states.
Wow.
And it was there where for me as an entrepreneur, like it was through opportunity, I started doing it on my own. I think that's probably what a lot of people do in the real estate industry, right? Something happened. They're like, you know what? I can do real estate. I'm good at it. I like it. I enjoy it. I'm very social and I can sell, right? So for me, it was, I'm an ops person. I get stuff done. Well, I worked with someone who was experienced in the industry. And, you know, it was great. I learned about people management, team management, how to scale. I mean, I had hundreds of people working for me at one point in time. And it really was just a formative experience. Also, how to create partnerships, right? You know, how do you actually think about a business partner? And you know this in real estate. It's not about every last dollar, right? That's short-term thinking. It's about the long-term win for everybody, where you all have to give up a little pain.
Yeah. So from there, so you're working a whole bunch of hours. Let's talk about what happened from there.
So from there, right, I ended up buying an e-commerce. I ended up buying an e-commerce business and fully remote, all remote team in the United States. And for the first 3.5 years, I was working 14 hours a day. No joke, not even an exaggeration. It was affecting my marriage. I mean, I didn't have a life, that's for sure.
Right.
And, you know, the business was frankly not performing the way it was growing. You know, went from like $3 million to $5 million. But at the end of the day, it wasn't growing the way it should have been. Mm-hmm. Right. And not to mention the problems I was having at home. And so I started offshoring to the Philippines. And I think this, you know, when you said the opening, not another virtual assistant, I did that journey.
Yeah,
I did. Yeah. Right. And guess what happens when you hire, when you optimize for cost, you get low quality because that's low cost, even in the Philippines where the pricing is different. So about, I guess, a year and a half ago, I was going with my wife to China and on a family vacation to with take her parents to China. And she said to me, she goes, I hope, and I say this in air quotes because there's no hope in this statement.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hope you aren't going to work on this trip.
Right. Right. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. Right. I'm sure that resonates with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Which so and she says, why don't you find someone to run your entire business out of the Philippines? And I said, that's not possible because I don't know anyone that's done it. I know a lot of successful people with outsourcing. She said to me, well, it's 100 million people in the country. There's going to be one. That's all you need. One that can take over your operations. Okay, honey, let me try. Right. I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
And I interviewed about 100 people, reviewed 500-600 resumes, and finally convinced someone who was running chief of staff for a 100-person company to come work for my 6-person company. And within 6 weeks, I was working 3 hours a day. So much so I was like, oh, what do I do? And then now a year and a half later, it's maybe 1 to 2 hours a week. That's it.
Right.
And that's just vision stuff. Like, here's what I want. Let's do this. Here's what the metrics say. Let's talk about this. Execute that project.
Right. So, and just delegate the rest to everybody else who can make it happen.
Right. And but I think the lesson that I learned is we're not special.
Yes. Right? Oh my gosh. I'm so happy you're saying that. You wouldn't believe how many times I say that. I hate to say it, but you're not special. They just want your experience, the experience you're going to give them through your process.
Right. Like there are people who could do significant parts of our job better than we can.
Yeah.
I'm a living example. I thought I was special, right?
Yeah.
And so it's one of these things you have to come to this realization as an entrepreneur that if you look at anyone you know, anyone I know, the most successful people in the world, it's never a single person, ever.
Right. Never. Right? Never. Walmart. I always use Walmart. Like Mr. Right. Walmart doesn't greet you and check you out and stock the shelves and do everything.
Name a famous entrepreneur. Everyone likes to say Richard Branson. Okay. He's a great example, right?
Yeah.
Richard Branson is not exactly doing all the work himself.
No.
Right. It's your job as an entrepreneur. I've learned this and I realize this now in creating this environment for success to thrive. It's not your job to actually do it all. So, and you know, once I hired out most of my job, what do you think happened? The business ran better. She hired better. Everything was more efficient. And most importantly, I had time to think, right? So the business start was growing again. Mm-hmm. And that was great, right? And in the pandemic, which is for me, the pandemic is a lot of parallels to 2008 in the real estate industry.
Oh yeah, no question.
Everything.
Well, there's similar things, but yeah.
Well, for me, I'm in the wedding business or the e-commerce is in the wedding business, right? So day one, like all of a sudden, boom, no business, right? Because there's no weddings, right? And so what I did was I said, okay, why don't we start an agency that is unlike anything else, where we actually go, we optimize for quality. So the difference in what I did when I hired out my role is that I just optimized for quality. I said, forget about cost, right? I'm going to pay Filipino prices, but I'm going to go for a Filipino executive. And once I did that, everything changed. So I started an agency that actually does this now. And it's really amazing because time and time again, the story that I have is the story for my clients where it's like, wait a second, I didn't know this was possible. No, I'm not pulling my hair out. Wow, they're taking off more than I thought. I can have them do other things. And this was my experience too. Like imagine if I came to work for you or you were working for someone else, the level of quality, you can get that because, you know, for under 20 bucks an hour, you're going to get like a person with legitimate experience who can offload tasks and let you focus on what you do, which in this case, you know, in this case would be for an entrepreneur, a real estate professional, sales or marketing
or mortgage. Yeah. For a mortgage person, the sales too. Yeah. Right. And the marketing piece of it. Yeah. And I think that's important. Yeah. You know, I wanted to share your story because your story is the story of, you know, loan officers and some real estate agents, not all real estate agents, but some real estate agents. And the barrier to entry in this has always been not having a lead indicator that says you need an assistant, but getting to critical mass and then just hiring from a mirror, right? Like I'll just hire anybody. In fact, I was sharing this on a workshop last week. Actually, I had a 2-day workshop. I was sharing this on the workshop and talking about this very thing. And halfway through the workshop, after I spoke about this, someone said, you know, I heard what you said and I was out and when we had a break, I went and I got some gas in my car and I ran into this 20-year-old kid and he was awesome and I hired him. That's not what I said. That's not what I said. No, 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 no. That's not what I said. Right.
That's common.
And, he's going to be a mini me. And I'm like, no, he's not. He's not going to be a mini you. You could have him shadow you and write the code for who you need, but he can't be a mini you. Right. So I think this is one of the issues that people have is not really having that lead indicator. And then it's just math. I have to hire. And they hire the wrong person. And then they say, I'll never do that again because that didn't work for me. So what is a better approach for someone who is feeling that they're working 12 hours, 7 days a week, all that? What's a better approach for them to assess whether or not they actually need one? And then the second part of that question is, what do they need to have prepared before they even reach out to get a virtual assistant?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the first thing is what I tell everybody is divide your day into two columns. It's a really simple exercise and I do it for myself. So it's really eye-opening. Strategic and tactical. Strategic is gen level tasks, things that require your experience, your knowledge, and what makes you special. So, you know, everything is tactical, meaning, you know, just day-to-day, just grunt work type of things. So you or I make money, let's say, talking to each other. We don't make money on anything that precedes this. In this case, let's say booking me, right? Mm-hmm. Or any follow-up things we need to do together. You're producing the podcast.
That's already signed off, yeah.
right. So everything that doesn't make you money as a loan officer, that is tactical. And by the way, that's including like processing and communicating with your clients. A lot of people in the mortgage business think client communication is really strategic. No. Because in my opinion, if you actually had someone else, clients may think more of you because they think you're bigger. You know, they're used to it, right? So that's the first thing. Strategic and tactical, divide your day. Second thing is write a job description, right? When have you heard anyone writing a job description for a virtual assistant? People don't do it, right? We do it for people, but people don't do it. And if you actually write a job description, now you have the list of what they're going to do, translate that into, it's really a selling job as to why someone wants to come work for you, what they're going to do, what their day-to-day is going to be like. If you do that, those two things will make sure not only are you just ready to hire, you're going to hire and attract the right person.
Yeah. And they will be in a track, right? That heavy tranche. So I want to just go back to this because on this podcast, and everyone knows, you know, my book, I talk about finder, minder, grinder. And so I have a second category, you know, in between your two categories, and that is the finding aspect, because in the industry of lending and real estate, there is a customer experience piece that requires a specific skill that is totally different than database management and sort of the grinder work, right? So I love that you said, you know, the bottom line is just do it. And when you're dividing that list and when you're marking down the action that you took, that then becomes the job description written in, not in bullet, but rather written out, right? Not I returned a phone call. Okay, I returned a phone call and I little Indian hashtag it. I did that 30 times today, right? Now it's not return phone calls. It's serve the client's needs by returning phone calls in a timely manner, you know, within 24 hours and blah, blah, blah. So I love that you're saying that. And this is, I think, where people stop is because, you know, I don't know how to write a job description, but that is the job description. Anything that you're doing is a job description, right?
100%.
Yeah. And so now you're hiring to the job you want filled, not to the panic. I was saying this the other day. You're hiring for release, right?
Yeah.
But you're also hiring for revenue. You have to be aware of that. You can't just get relief. And, you know, to bring to your point is hiring for, what did you say? Hiring for capacity?
So you're offloading, creating capacity. But this is also, so the one thing I would, and I agree with you, think of this in a growth mindset.
Yeah.
Right? A lot of people get tied up, and listen, I was one of these people, right? When I was doing my e-commerce, when I have for my e-commerce business, oh my God, this person is going to cost $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year. I can't afford that. It's not the right way to think about it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So if you reduce what you have, like you have to do every day, let's say you free up 6 hours a day, not uncommon.
Right.
That enables you to market and sell more. Therefore, this person who may call, and think of it as a $3,000 a month investment, right? Let's just take a pick a ballpark number. $17 an hour is like $29.60. So think of it like that. You get a better person, they free you up. Now, do you think you can make another few thousand dollars a month? Yeah.
Well, yeah, as long as you don't go do eat bonbons and watch Netflix. You know, that and that becomes some of the challenge for people too, is that the reason they don't hire somebody is because they don't really want to have to go out and sell. You mean I really have to work at being better at who I am and what I do as a professional? And I think that that's something people have to look at, is when you are freed up from your time, what are you going to do with your time? Making sure that you have your own tranche ready to go forward and that you can move it forward too. I think that's a really good point, right?
Yeah, I mean, so you're going to have a lot of free time. Now, some people, the truth is, they just want more time with their family. So they're extremely successful, they're grinding it out, and they just want more time, and that's okay too. So that's how you value it. But when you talk about a growth mindset, and I always tell the people this, think about it in like a 3 to 4 month payback, right? In 3 to 4 months, if you're actually focused on your business and it's not growing, A, there are contractors, you could always stop it. But B, maybe there's something wrong with how you're approaching your business. That's the other way to think about this, right? Like $3,000 additional income a month, especially if you're in sales, is not a tremendous amount, right? Yeah. And I'm not saying it's easy.
You don't want to break even. You want to grow from it. Or maybe you do want to break even because you don't want to grow. You just want that free time, as you said.
Right. And well, I mean, for loan officers, you can make 3,000 in one clip easily, right? Okay. Just one set, one close, you know, one close on the loan, but you have 6 hours of your day back, right? Yeah. So you think about it like that, the cost, the payback is so minimal, and it's within 3-4 months, I'm sure most everyone listening would see their business grow by not having to do the tactical stuff.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So one of the other things that I know you talk about is hiring the right person. So let's talk about your company just for a second here, because I could talk generically and say, okay, what kinds of questions should you be asking a company?
Yeah.
But there are questions, you know, when I think about a lot of, and not everybody, but a lot of loan officers and real estate agents, you know, they come in from being a teacher, and the example of real estate agents, right? A lot of them were teachers, a lot were military, and they kind of go in that direction. loan officers, you know, come out of college or come from, you know, some type of sales background or banking background, and they're going to come in. So they don't necessarily have really good management skills or leadership skills. And now their business is growing. And I would say this is for anybody, even if you, you know, if you know, nobody had any leadership skills, eventually you become a leader, you know, in a team if you're going to grow. So there's a lack of understanding of how to hire, who to hire, signs to look for, questions to ask, closed end questions versus open end. What are some tips you could give people on going through that hiring process? How long should it be? What questions should they ask? Should they assign a task to see if the person can finish them on time? Should they get samplings from a multitude of virtual assistants to make a decision on somebody? What are some strategies that people could be using other than I just need somebody, give me someone?
So first, let's say you've written the job description. Do not hire without one. You're destined to fail. Yeah. Okay. Then I think everyone has to look internally about who they are, right? So let's just say in my case, right? I have a tendency, I think it's a stereotypical entrepreneur thing. I'm like shiny ball syndrome. Look at this. I like this. I like this. I want to do this. I want to do this. Yeah. I have 70 people working for me. And believe me, I'm like all over the place. So who did I hire? I hired someone who was clear, methodical, organized. So for me, I know to be successful, I need that. If I hire someone scatterbrained, then it really wouldn't work.
Right? Yeah. So, then you're all just scatterbrained. Yeah.
Right. So think of like, okay, know yourself, said, all right, well, I know I work this way. Do I need someone to work this way as well? Let's say you're detail oriented. I want someone detail oriented. Or do you want someone maybe opposite? I'm not creative. I want someone creative, right? Mm-hmm. So think about the personalities and your perfect person and really just, again, write it down.
Yeah.
And so as you start, and then write down some questions that you think may draw it out, right? So, you know, if you're looking for someone detail-oriented, you know, just have them walk you through a process that they created and see how detailed they are at explaining what they did at previous jobs. It's a great indicator, yeah, right? You can absolutely ask people to do tests, like as a test. So what we say to clients is, give us one of a couple things. One is give us three questions you want to ask the client. We'll record a video and let you help filter, right? So this will help filter even though they've been interviewed. Two, depending on the role, give us a task that you would like them to do that takes an hour or less so you can see the work quality, right? Yeah. So now you start to get a little more unbiased opinions.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I think that's really critical. I think that's really good. And I just want to add, and I know you have this as part of what you do as well, but also the timing on it. Cause I always feel like if I'm interviewing somebody, that's like dating, right? They're going to put their best foot forward. And if I want that task done, it's one thing to ask for the task. The other is to say, have it done by 2:30 tomorrow afternoon. And if it's not done by 2:30 tomorrow afternoon, and they've not communicated that they don't understand something, then that right there is a sign for me that this is when they should be impressing me the most.
Right.
Absolute most. And if they're not going to get the task done to get me to hire them, then the likelihood is they're not going to get the task done when they're hired with us.
Correct. I think that's a great, yes. You do have to put a finite, like have this done by then. Absolutely. But also make sure it's realistic, right? Like you're asking someone to like rewrite the universe, right?
No question.
By the way, and it doesn't have to be paid. Yeah. I think that it's, especially when you start talking about remote work, people are just used to this, like, okay, well, how do I know that you know how to do this? Let me just see a task. Give me an indicator. We do it all the time. And it's very, very typical.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I've done it too. I've done it with five people saying, look, I'm only going to hire one person. I have five people that I'm working with right now, and you're all getting assigned the same task. And whoever gets it done the best in the timeline I have asked for, you don't have to get it done sooner, just in the timeline, that's going to be the person that gets hired. And wow, the incredible stuff that comes out of that is just unbelievable.
Yeah, 100%. Because now you're seeing work product.
Yeah. Right?
So people don't interview as well. So now you're seeing work product at the end of the day. That's what helps, right? Yeah. And it may be for some roles, it doesn't make sense to do it, but for a lot of roles, it may.
Yeah. So, yeah. It depends on the role. Tell us a little bit about, you know, in sales, there's the open-ended and closed-end question, but tell us about how that works in the interview process with people, how you found that having open-ended questions, like, for example, you just said something about detailed, you know, most people would say, are you detail-oriented? Yes. Okay, good, check. Right?
Ask some questions where answering the question would give you evidence that they know what they're talking about. Let's use detail-oriented. So let's just say you're talking about a project manager, right?
Right.
Something as simple as, walk me through how you create a project plan. Yeah. Right? That's going to give you a lot of indication if they're subject matter experts, right? Or walk me through a project you, so this project you listed, walk me through that. How did you create the plan? What was your role? Where did it go wrong? Where were the KPIs, key performance indicators, so on and so forth. And as they describe things, right? Are they describing it big picture?
Yeah.
Minute.
Listen in when they're doing it.
Exactly. So what are they doing? And does that give you an indicator, right? That it is. Other things, like when you're screening for personality, how do they answer a question? Are they direct? Are they evasive? Are they, like, you just answer something. Yeah. Are you detail-oriented? Yes.
Yeah. High D. Yeah. Just bullet. Right. Bullet, baby. Bullet.
And exactly. Right. So, you know, what do you like to work with? Maybe you don't care. Maybe you just want somebody to get the job done. Maybe you want someone who you can have rapport with, right? So do all those things. So depending on, okay, I can just speak for the Philippines in general, remote staff. Once you figure all that out, you interview. Expect, especially when you talk about offshore, if you're doing it on your own, 12 to 18 months worth of learning, of hiring and firing, right? You're going to have to make an investment, like, in time. Like, you're not going to hire someone day two. But by the way, if day 30, it's not working, let them go. I mean, for me, I'll do it within the first 2 weeks.
Yeah. Don't keep going.
Right. Don't keep going. So expect that cycle. It's very normal to, it's a skill. You have to learn how to do it if you're doing it on your own. It took me roughly 18 months when I first started using virtual assistants or remote workers to actually get it done. The light bulb was, once I optimized for quality, it all of a sudden I hit it out of the park my first try because I just went with a professional. And that's the key thing. Pay up. Do not listen to these people that say, I'm going to give you someone for $5 an hour. It's going to change your life. They're lying to you and they know it.
Yeah, I really like that. And I was thinking, you know, also is when someone does hire someone and they have to let them go in 2 weeks, there's a belief system that we develop that says, I can't hire. I'm not good at it. And I think give yourself some grace to learn from the experience, not avoid it, but, you know, dive in and lean into it. Do the thing, because that thing will get you further and further along. Wouldn't you agree with that as well? Because I know I see it a lot. I already tried it.
100%. So hiring, and I'll tell you, it's funny that I'm in the hiring business now because I was a terrible person at it. I was terrible at it. Right. Because, you know, I believe, oh, they'll figure it out. No, that's not the way you hire. And so hire, fire, just learn. It's going to take time. I mean, you could shortcut that, but it's going to take time. And just recognize, like you said, give yourself some grace that it's okay if it's not right on the first try. So the question is, why did you hire poorly? Was it you? Was it them? Was it both? Did you not structure it? So once you hire someone, right, you actually need to do, you need to onboard. Exactly.
You need to onboard them. Structure their tasks.
Use a task manager. I know a lot of people don't like to use it.
Yeah.
You got to use a task manager. Yeah. So use a task manager. Make it clearly defined tasks. If you have procedures they want them to actually, you want them to follow, don't just say, oh, I want you to answer my calls or do my email. That doesn't help, right? Record a video. Here's a key tip. Record a video for every task you want. Don't write it down. Because you can speak it much quicker. It's much easier for you. And then you have a library of how to do things. And then whether it's this person, the next person, they can look at the library and say, oh, do my email. Well, now you say, do my email. They look at the email video where you explain it to them. And it's really easy to make. They're plugins. They're free. You just go click and you just start speaking, right? And record your screen. So those are other things you can do to be successful.
Yeah, I think so too, because I know it's very taxing. You know, it's just, well, give it to me. I'll just go ahead and do it. And then who's working for whom, right? I say that all the time. You know, they're like, oh, it just takes too long to teach them, whatever. Create a tutorial library. I mean, I talk about it all the time, a video library on each little topic, doing it 20 times too. Don't just say, here's how to do an email, because inevitably, at least in the mortgage business, you tell someone, here's how you lock a loan. Inevitably, when you go in to lock it and you're recording your screen, there's going to be something missing. And you're going to, oh my gosh, well, now there's something missing. Let me stop recording and just give them the perfect lock.
Yeah.
Instead, say, okay, so we're locking this and I'm missing some things. So let me show you how I'm going and I'm retrieving and show them 50 different versions of it, you know, so that they can see how to problem solve on their own. One of the questions I want to ask you is, how does someone who's hiring someone, you know, and look, we're talking loan officers and realtors, and we're all like, blah, blah, you know, happy, good luck kind of people most of the time, right? And we just like them. I really like them. I want to bring them in because I like them. Help us get over that hump.
I mean, look, you have to like somebody. So
because that is true.
Right. But like at the end of the day, you're paying people money. They have to have skill.
Yeah.
Right. So yes, liking them is great and all, but look at what they've done in their experience and realize just because, oh, I was able to figure it out, that has nothing to do with anybody else. You were able to figure it out. Don't hire random people.
Yeah. Oh, including your niece, your daughter, your daughter-in-law, my brother's best friend.
Nepotism is the worst. Forget it. You know, because then you're optimizing because it's no different than getting someone off the street and say, hey, oh yeah, they smiled, right? But I knew them since they were a smart kid. One has nothing to do with the other, right? Yeah. And don't think about when you have to hire them. What about firing them?
Yeah.
When you hire someone you know, if it doesn't work out, which 90% is a chance it won't, you're going to have to fire them. And how's that going to work?
Yeah. Leave you for other reasons to pursue things that they wanted to do. And that's creating problems too, right?
Exactly. Yeah. You're right. You need to just really look for skill set, right? Yeah. What is this person going to do? Have they done it before or realistically, can they do it?
Yeah. I love that. So let's talk about your company as we close out our time today. So your company is Extend Your Team, which I love it because that's what you want to do is extending your team. And if someone, you know, is interested in doing this, who's there to walk them through this? Who's there to, you know, hold their hand as they go through it and say, okay, that's it. I'm going to bite the bullet. I'm going to do this, but I need some hand holding. So what does that look like with your company?
Sure. So they would get on a call with me. And we would understand what the problem they have is, right? Mm-hmm. So once we determine it's a match, then let's assume they decide to go forward. From that point on, the team takes over. So someone will write up a job description based on what we talked about. They'll approve it. Then we go start searching for someone, the right person for you. We don't jam someone down your throat. It's literally, who are you? Okay, this will be a match. Here's a skill set. Let's find someone that meets your needs. That process will take, you know, a few weeks to find someone. Let's assume it all works out. You like the people we find. Then we have an onboarding team who will help. This is the key here. Help onboard them properly. This will be setting up tasks. That will be organizing them, organizing you, make sure they have the right software. And then every step of the way for the first 30, 60, 90 days, making sure and touching base with you that, are you getting your meets net? Is everything clear? We work with the remote worker. Is everything clear for them? And so there's a team supporting you. You're not just on your own. And this is the stage where even if you hired the right person, you could fail very easily because you don't know how to make them successful. So here's where we come in and help you as much or as little as you need. After that, just keep on going and just be successful.
Yeah, I love that. And I love the fact that you help write the job description, help with the onboarding, because you know there's a learning curve. So what do you think the learning curve is for someone that's never had an assistant, you know, or never hired anybody? What do you think that learning curve is for them personally? Because it means that your assistant will give you some relief in time, but then you have some time that you have to learn as well. Yeah. So where does that finally hit, you know, and I'm sure everybody's different. That's what you're going to tell me. It depends on their skills, but generally, where do you see that happening?
Well, so I mean, really within the first 90 days, I mean, I'd say between day 30, day 90, you're also like through us, we don't hire junior people. We're getting someone who has experience. So it's a little different, right? They can help get the best out of you. Now you're going to have to let go, but they're, you know, they're also going to be able to get things going much quicker than let's say a junior level person. So the key is when you hire overseas, overhire because you can afford it. And these people will help get the best out of you. not just the other way around.
Yeah.
So honestly, within the first 30 days, you're going to see a dramatic difference. Within 90, everything will be humming.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that because, you know, as we start heading into the spring market, for those of us that are in markets where there's snow, there's a change in the market that happens in the spring. Yeah. And as we're starting to head to that spring market, you know, now's the time to do that. Now's the time to put those things into place so that you can be hitting the road running and enjoying this summer, as opposed to letting your family go on, which was my story, let them go on the boat, let them have the fun weekend while I sat in the house and worked all weekend taking care of things. Yeah. I was standing on the boat with my cell phone, waving and saying, don't splash me, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's so many of us are like this, right? Like, I get it. I think every entrepreneur gets it, right? And all I'm saying is like, and I know people have heard about virtual assistants, remote workers, just throw that out of your head because everyone's remote now. So your opportunities are endless and we don't have to be those people, right? Yeah. I was that person. I didn't have to be. That was a choice because there's a better way, or I would say a different way. We just build a team and we do it affordably and we do it reasonably. We just have to be willing to do that. And the pain of, you know, change has to be less than the current pain we're feeling. And it is, right? You can have a life and be a successful entrepreneur. The media is saying, look at these entrepreneurs. They grind it out 1 million hours a day. That's the media. That's a story. That is not reality, or doesn't have to be.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. I'm putting the quote down so we can quote all that. Yeah. The pain of change has to be less than the pain of.
It's the pain of continuing on.
Continuing on. Okay. Yeah. Of doing what you're already doing. Yeah. Continuing on. Okay. So we're going to have a link in the show notes for people to get information if they want to get a hold of you. You know, whether they do or not, I think this is a great conversation and topic for people because I hear this all the time. You know, I need more leads. I need help with operations. I need more time. Time management's an issue. And all of those are signals. You know, there's something called CPC that I learned from Greg Reed, who is the CEO of Secret Knock and part of a mastermind that I'm in, is that we have clues, we have patterns, and we have choices. And a clue, there's one clue. Yeah, you're busy this week. That's a clue. But when you're busy every week and every day and every week and every day, that's a pattern. And it's time to make a choice whether you're going to continue that. And it's not sustainable because everyone comes to that conclusion at some point. It might be a year for some and five for others, but they're going to come to the conclusion. Wow. And now it becomes a choice. And I think that's why I wanted to bring you on, because I felt like this is something people need to understand. I was just on the phone with a client the other day and she was like, blah, 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 blah. And she goes, I know. You're going to tell me that I need an assistant. And I go, yeah, I am going to tell you that, because that's what you need to get out from underneath of what you're dealing with. So
yeah, it's, look, I mean, I did it for 3.5 years where I was crushed in my e-commerce business. And finally, I was just like, I had enough. My pain tolerance was 3.5 years.
And yeah. And guess what mine was? Almost 20. Yeah. Almost 20.
All right. Yeah.
And so I'm a big fan, of delegating, right? Not drive-by delegation, not drive-by where you're shocked and awed, you know, when it happens, but real, you know, concise delegation that works properly, you know, to help move you forward. So is there anything you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Yes. Remember, you're not special. And when somebody actually focuses on all the tasks that suck up your day, your life will be better and so will your business. Doesn't matter what it is or who it is. Change is possible. You just have to take the first step.
Love it. Love it. Thank you so much for spending time with us today, Matthew. I appreciate it. And I want to let everybody know again, you know, if you want information about Matthew and his company, you can use some of the links that we have, all of the links that we have below. You can follow him on LinkedIn and Facebook and all that good stuff. We'll have all those links here. And, you know, consider this. Don't just listen to the podcast and move on to the next one. Consider this. Sit down and think about it. Do a strategy versus tactical. Do a finder, minder, grinder. Do some visioning. Write out some roles and tasks and things so that you can start moving this forward faster than slower. So that's your action item, is to ponder this. Don't just listen and move on. So Matthew, again, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. And we'll catch you next time on Mortgage Lending Mastery.
Thanks for listening to Mortgage Lending Mastery. Be sure to subscribe to hear more sales tips, ideas, strategies, and tactics to help you with your personal and professional growth. to multiply your results in record time. And if you like what we're doing, don't forget to give us a rating and review so we can continue to bring you the best content possible. Wanting more beyond the podcast? Join our Mortgage Lending Mastery membership community, where you will find extended interviews with our favorite guests, weekly training, tips, and insider secrets, fireside chats with Jen, free content, meet, share, and collaborate with other members, and so much more. Click the link in the show notes to learn more about this exclusive content. Mortgage Lending Mastery is an Industry Syndicate charter podcast. Industry Syndicate is the first podcast network specifically for the mortgage and real estate industries. Get the Industry Syndicate app in the App Store or Google Play today.